All right, folks, well, the problem is there is no real frontal boundary to talk about what we want to talk about, unfortunately. But what we do have, I guess we can give a little bit of a try here. Hang on here. First, we need to move this to...
This is 48 hours.
Yes.
What do you want?
I need this.
What do you want?
Oh, is it 48?
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. Trish has got the sail mail grib. Now, I use a different model, of course, and I've got a little bit more detail on mine, so I know all you've got is the sail mail one. So there are two areas I think that we could talk about. I know we gave you an area to look at, but, well... There's two areas, like I said. One is at 170 West and up around 25 South. There's a frontal band that's going through there. Remember we talked about a few minutes ago the front that's near Tonga Tapu and has gone up to lower Fiji. Well, it's that one. Then on the 48-hour on your grid, which would be...
00.
That's the 00 grid, and that would be the 20th at 00. To the northeast of New Zealand, there is a frontal band. The low is to the east of Napier, it looks like. It's out there at around 40 south and 175 west. That's the front. That's the low, the depression itself. And then as an arc, it throws a front over to the north of New Zealand at about 30 south. So if you've got that on your grid, if you can see that, if you haven't put in the rain feature and you are just looking at isobars, you can see the curve in the isobars where that front would be. Unfortunately, the curves that Sail Mail has put in, but they don't show the bend very well. They do show one pretty good bend. It's the hard black line that crosses 170 east. If you track that east-southeast, you'll see the little bend that I'm talking about. Then if you look at your wind arrows, you will see that right along 30 south, roughly, the winds are more or less easterly, westerly, oh boy, westerly. And then if you look below that, if you look at about 33 south, you'll see more or less southwesterly winds. Okay, well, right in there is the front. So the rain band, if you've got it sensitive enough and dialed in, shows you the approximate location of it. But apart from that, the wind arrows themselves will show you where the convergence is. This is not a very good front to be working with. So I think what we're going to have to do is the next time we have a pretty good one that goes through, and there's some that are approaching New Zealand, and I'm talking about where we are preceded by northwest winds and then succeeded by southwest winds, that would be a very good example to illustrate what we're doing. Okay, there's one other area. If you've got your grids for today, and this would be the area that runs from, say, Tonga Tapu southeast. Now, your rain band, you should see the rain band that runs southeast. This is today. Is Trish trying to find it here? Hang on. Yeah, she's got it on the 24th here. That's okay. We'll use that one. That's a pretty good example, too. So scratch what I just said and go to your 24-hour, which would be 00, and that would be the 19th. Now on that area, if you look, this one is actually crossing Samoa. A little bit different from the one I'm talking about, but it's good. So you see all the wind arrows on top of, or to the north of Samoa and to the east. Their northerly quadrant wind arrows. And if you look just to the south of Samoa, between Samoa and Fiji or Tonga, it's all southeasterly winds. So in the absence of the rain band color, you can tell something's going on simply by the wind arrows. Now, the isobars up in the tropics are going to tell you very little. So you aren't going to be able to really rely on isobars up in the tropics, particularly the deep tropics. And the reason for that is the closer you get to the equator, the more of an angle the wind tends to make. In fact, the winds could actually blow perpendicular to the isobars near the equator. So it's not useful. They're not useful at all. But what is useful are the wind arrows. So that happens to be a very good example of a convergence or a trough. That particular one's not a cold front. And the reason that it's not a cold front is I just happen to know that there isn't a density differential in terms of temperature. So what we're looking at here are just winds coming from two different sources. The northerly winds are coming from the high that's way up to the east. They're bending down to the south to enter the trough area. And the winds on the other side, the south side of the trough, are coming from the big high that's in the Tasman. And these are going to be, they're going to have less moisture in them because they're coming from the south. And yes, they'll be a little bit cooler, but by the time they get as far as Samoa, that air will have acquired quite a bit of the tropical temperature. So we're not going to see a big delta on density. So those are the two examples. They're not great, but they will give you an idea of what is going on. And what else could I say? Yeah, it's about, hang on.
You can talk about the streamline. That's why I didn't want
to talk. Tricia has given me the KVM streamline. We talked yesterday about getting that, and all of you should be able to get it with no trouble if you've got a working radio or whatever. And again, the streamlines are showing the convergence along that trough line. If you look at it shows Pango Pango very clearly, and it shows converging winds, winds coming in on the north side from the northeast, and winds coming in on the south side and from the southeast. And it shows it perfectly. It shows the convergence fantastically. So that is your other source for learning about where troughing would be and where fronts would be as well. So everybody should be able to get that KVM chart. Now, Australia BOM also puts out a chart for streamlines that covers the area further to the west, which could be helpful to you. So you may want to check that out. Okay, does anybody have any questions on that? Like I say, crummy examples. And we'll do it again when we get some really good examples. But right now, that's what we've got. So any questions, come now.
Yeah, go ahead, Michael. I think we've got some interference on the frequency, but go ahead, over.
The 24 hours of the homeward grid, I'm going to call it, at around 23 south, west of the high, there's sort of a point that develops, and the wind changed very dramatically along that point. If you look at the 48
yes.
area, there's no even more change.
Yes, the change down there.
Yeah, we've got you. We'd swapped the computers over. So, yes, the on the 24, folks, if you're looking at that, and you're looking down the bottom of New Zealand, I think that's where you're looking, Michael, on the 170 around the 45 mark, you'll see a kink in the isobars. You'll also see a distinct change in the direction of the wind barbs. And folks, just remember that when you look at these, you've got a lot of choice. If you click on the wind barb at the top of your screen, you can actually take, if you want to just concentrate on, say, the wind barbs, you can take your surface pressure transparency to zero, and that gets rid of your isobars, and you can concentrate solely on your wind barbs. Similarly, if you want to get rid of the wind barbs, you can just put that transparency to zero, and that, if you do that with what Michael's talking about, you can see quite a change in direction of the isobars, that little hump down there over the South Island of New Zealand. So that sort of just helps you focus attention. I'll just hand the microphone back.
Okay, here's a little bit of a caution now. What we're looking at around New Zealand shouldn't really be relied upon to determine a trough or a front. I know it looks pretty good, but what's happening is, remember, New Zealand is very mountainous, and when the isobars cross the mountains, they are going to change dramatically. They're going to make a U-shape or a V-shape, and that's going to skew things considerably. And the reason the isobars do that is they're surface pressure isobars. And in order to take into account the mountains, they had to draw them that way. So really you should not be using these techniques near land. Isobars near land are never going to be very accurate, so it's really more for the open water. The other thing I wanted to say is, if you are concerned about a trough or a front more so than a trough, and you want more detail, then you would pick a very small area if you know where it's going to be. If you see something on your chart that looks suspicious, and it happens to be near where you are, then change your map size to a very, very small size, and change all of the numbers to be far less than what they are. So you want to maybe get your isobars to be 1 millibar or 2 millibars instead of 4 millibars, and so forth. And that would give you much more detail for that area. So the size of the chart won't be too big because you're picking a small area, even though you're asking for very intense features. So that's the other thing you can do if you just want to study something or if you're worried about something. So, yep, that's what you can do with simple little charts. So I hope that's helpful. And again, we'll repeat this when we get a good chart.
Did we sort of answer your question, Michael?
Well, it helped a lot, but it wasn't the area I'm talking about that I'm seeing on the chart. On the 24-hour, there's a high off the coast of Australia.
Yes.
And at about 23 south and about 178 is where the isobars start to get a sharp point, and they're pointing to the east. It's a little bit north of the high, quite a bit way east of the high. And if you go to the 48, it's a real sharp point. There's a fairly dramatic wind fog difference in direction. Do you see what I'm talking about over there?
Yes, we do. I think our one was 000. I think you might have got the 1800, but I can see where you've got a change from the southeast to the south wind. Is that what you're looking at over?
Yeah, that's correct. And I was looking at the sort of shape of the isobar, and I do have the 0000 grid.
Okay, alrighty. So we're with you now. I thought you'd said 45 and not 20, whatever. All right, folks, we're on the 000 grib, and we're looking at the 20th, which is the 48 hour, and also the 24 hour. And if you look at about 20, say 25 south, and almost on the dateline 178, you will see that there is, well, this is a model, so it's got rather an ugly sharp change in the isobar direction, but also a very significant change in the wind. So David's going to look at that now.
Okay, I'm leaning over Patricia's shoulder here because she's got the that particular computer. All right, so we've got two areas of circulation. Oops, she's moving
that's
on.
That's the 24.
Okay. All right, first off, we've got circulation from below, which is cyclonic, and then we've got circulation from the high. You're talking about the high that's to the east of Australia. So we're looking at air that probably has got about the same density, but we're showing actually divergence. Let's see, we've got the cursor. You've got the cursor around maybe 25 and 178.
And it's almost 24 hours.
Yeah, right around 178. You'll see that's
24 hours. It's
the 24 right, that's the 24-hour chart, the 19th, and that's an area of divergence of the wind. So right in that area, you would expect clearing skies, even though there is a low to the south. Right in that particular area, because the winds are separating, you would expect have a reasonable time right in that area. Is that what you're referring to? Over.
Yeah, that was it. I'm trying to get a handle on my head around what the size of our island looked like. So the thanks so much.
Yeah, remember with wind, you have convergence and you have divergence. And so whenever you've got a divergent wind, generally that means you're going to have air that's coming down to the surface. And unless there is a severe inversion, it's going to be pretty nice weather. Conversely, if you've got convergence where the arrows are pointing at one another, you're going to have, like I said, convergence, and you're going to have not nice weather because the air is going to go up. And when it goes up, it's going to hit the dew point. You're going to get cloud. And if it goes up even further than that, you're going to get precipitation. So that's the story there. So you can look at areas on your chart of convergence, areas of divergence, and pretty much get an idea what's happening in that regard. Over.
Great. That helps a lot. Thank you.
All right, there's a lot of words being used, and again, I would refer you to the couple of papers on the YIT library site. One is to get these GRIBs in the best format for interpretation, go to the one at the top, GRIBs and how to order them. Thanks to Spirari for that one. And the weather for the yachtsman, it's sort of down a bit further in the list. It's got a lot of discussion on all of these terms that are being used by David. So well worth a read on a day when you have got convergence and you're stuck on the boat.
All right, one other thing regarding this. There's another kind of divergence and divergence, and that is the word speed. So we could have speed convergence. So an analogy would be cars on an open highway approaching a toll booth. A lot of cars all moving at, say, 100 Ks, and all of a sudden they have to slow to pay the toll. Well, they're all going to pile up, aren't they? Well, that's convergence. The cars are piling up. Well, the same thing when you're looking at your chart. Look at the winds. If the winds are blowing to your east, well, first off, say that the isobar is a straight line. There's no real curvature. The winds to your east are blowing 30 knots, 25 knots, whatever. And then right in your area and to the west of you, they're only blowing 10 knots. Well, guess what's going to happen where you are? All that wind, it's slowing down, isn't it? So what's it going to do? It's going to pile up like cars did, only in this case, the air is going to rise again, creating cloud and so forth. Now, suppose you're in a area and your winds are, say, 10, 15 knots, and the wind to your west starts picking up to 20, 25, 30. Well, if you were in an area that had a little bit of cloud and whatnot, you probably would assume that it's going to clear up, because it's going, that strong wind to your west is going to be pulling more air out of your area. And so we have what's called speed divergence at that point. So all this could happen with straight isobars. So that's one more thing to think about and to look at when you're looking at your grids and the wind arrows.
All right, we've probably lost everybody by now to other things. It's probably a beautiful day up where you are, and we've actually got a trace of blue here, so that's rather good. We'll just...